Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, and tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors today are Accurate Med Testing, Growers Health, and Mary Jane Survival Guide.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with certifications, you will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis. Visit Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, or tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Good morning, Cannabis Kid.
Good morning, Delta. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, but I'm doing a lot better since I got
back. Aw, me too. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. Guess what today is? The day before Belle's birthday. I know, crazy, huh? Can you remember?
21.
I know. We're going out. I want to get my first drink. That's amazing. You get to throw that ID down and say, yep, pardon me, baby. Last year, we were talking about everybody's first year, cannabis coming out stories, remember?
Right, and everyone was going around the room.
Yep, that was really fun.
That was a good one. We were doing night shows then.
Yeah, we were doing night shows then. Now we're just like, early bird.
I always think of us as the view. when we have Nurse Mary Jean in here.
Yeah, where's our nurse?
And Lady Luck.
Amnesia.
It just kind of feels like we're the view.
It does. We've got all the little chips.
We really do.
Going on.
It's just me here this morning in the South.
We got a quiet show. No, we will not have a quiet show ever.
Ever.
We have a really cool guest on this morning that we found through Culture Magazine, which is just awesome. If you haven't checked it out, then please check it out. They are... I think
they're Arizona's newest awesome
cannabis culture lifestyle magazine.
Really cool. Smaller than a lot of the other magazines, but thinner.
Much bigger than the Mary Jane Survival Guide, though.
Yes.
You've seen that
this
one.
This is more magazine.
This is an actual magazine, like High Times magazine.
For Arizona.
Pretty bitchin'.
It's like the High Times of Arizona.
It is. It's awesome. They've got news nuggets and all sorts of stuff.
A lot of things dealing with Arizona and the world at large.
Yes. They do. They've got, speaking of, they've got a world section right here. And I think you all remember last week we talked about a hydroponics business opened, getting ready to set up shop in an old Hershey factory. Can you imagine the smells when they start heating things up in that building, like the candy chocolate smells? People are just going to be euphoric from that all day.
Willy Wonka, the chocolate factory.
Yeah, hello. But anyway, awesome magazine. They've got a bunch out. We've got three of their issues. And anyway, our guest, Michael Weiser, I'm saying that correctly. Sorry, Mr. Michael. He's going to be in our show. This man, wow. If you look at his bio, it is long, lustrous, beautiful, and full of just awesome work that this guy has done. Just as a human being, I applaud him.
He's been working in getting our rights for medical cannabis. He is a singer, a songwriter, a poet.
Just activist. He's running for office. Don't get out, folks.
This guy's list, the things that he's done is
awesome.
Quite long, and we'll definitely
have him on air in just a few moments. We got some news this morning in our inbox. It's not very good. But it's from Arizona. It's actually on our website. It's from the director's blog. And it said that the judge's ruling said, out of Phoenix, that medical marijuana users have no constitutional right to grow their own drugs, a trial judge has ruled. Judge Catherine Cooper of Maricopa County Superior Court threw out a challenge by two men to a provision in the 2010 voter-approved Arizona Medical Marijuana Act that says only those living farther than 25 miles from a state-regulated dispensary can cultivate the plant. She said there is no basis for their claim that the provision limits their health care rights. Yeah, but Cooper left the door open for the men to raise a separate challenge that the 25-mile rule amounts to a violation of their rights under constitutional provisions guaranteeing everyone equal protection of the law, she said, though they have yet to make a case for that claim. Well, there you go. The 2000 law allows those with a doctor's recommendation to get a card from the state allowing them to obtain and possess up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana every 2 weeks. That law also envisioned a system of state-regulated dispensaries to sell the drugs. But it also says anyone who lives farther than 25 miles from a dispensary can grow up to 12 plants at any one time. Initially, that exemption applied to everyone because it took the state more than a year to license dispensaries. But State Health Director Will Humble said just about all of the approximately 40,000 medical marijuana cardholders in Arizona now live close enough to a dispensary. The challengers, who had been growing their own, did not want to give up that right. They cited provisions of a 2012 constitutional amendment that says individuals cannot be forced to participate in any health care system. It's true. They did. They made an amendment. Attorney Michael Walt said forcing those who are entitled to use medical marijuana to buy their drugs at retail from a dispensary amounts to forcing them to participate in that system. It sure does. Cooper disagreed, though. Dispensaries are not a healthcare system, the judge wrote. She said they do not manage, possess, enroll, or pay for healthcare services for qualifying patients. And Cooper said the amendment the men are relying on clearly applies to mandated health insurance, not to a business that sells controlled substances. Anyway, the judge wrote, participating in the AMMA, the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, is hardly a compulsory program. Instead, she pointed out, it simply allows those who qualify to legally obtain and possess marijuana. It does not compel people to use medical marijuana or even obtain a qualifying registry card, Cooper said. An appeal is likely. Heck yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, they really kind of
just sure
put it all
program
out there for you.
Yeah, holy cow. Wow.
It sure shows on this whole law and how it's being put out that there's more to it and we're all learning. You know, we're all learning about this.
Yeah.
Ones that are against it are learning about how it can be better.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning all the laws and rules that were set in stone all these years back and why they were put into provisions and why they're being used now. So we just have to keep on educating.
Yes.
And showing both sides equally and not have these fights. Because, I mean, I think putting it out there like that, even the judge said, these are the things that I'm going by.
Right. This is
what I have to work with.
Right.
So until we can make some provisions, which that's not that
that's
judge's
not far
person.
Off. Right. And it's not that far. They're working on them right now, I'm sure. You know, someone came into Tumbleweed Health Center the other day to get certified, and they were talking about the program, and they said the very thing that we said, you know, at least we have a program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of states out there that don't. We're not happy about having our growing rights taken away. And I really don't think it would make a big difference or a big impact on dispensaries.
We've talked about this. This is just like the people that aren't going to grow vegetables. They're not even going to do a topsy-turvy in the backyard, let alone a garden.
Right.
They're still going to go get their produce from the grocery stores.
Right. And
no one's going to go out of business.
And there's still little tiny farmers markets, and there's still Safeway and Raley's and Walmart, Grocery Mart, or whatever.
And there's
called,
a Sprouts. You go wherever you go get your food.
Yeah. It's there. But at least we have a program. We're working with it. This was one step, you know, in the right direction to say to the judge, to anybody, hey, this is what we're thinking. You know, okay, so you said no to this. Okay, we're going to feel it, and we're going to do this next, and we're going to see, because it's important. I think it's very important, not only, you know, the dispensaries some of them don't carry the meds people need. And some of them that are closest to those patients don't carry the meds people need. So they end up going way further than 25 miles out of the way to get meds or lotions or capsules or suffers.
Whatever they need to use this plant.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they need to use as their medication. So now they're traveling around. Even if they're having those the pain, they're traveling around in their car for anywhere from 35 to 45 minutes.
Oh, one way.
One
yeah,
way.
In this town, one way. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, we can go on. But I get
I think
it
we have, I think Michael, I'm hoping this is Michael who's on the line here. There's some sort of way of testing this, but I'm not that savvy yet, so we'll have to do a practice run. All right. Let's see if we got Michael on the line. Maybe we can shed some light on what's going on with this brilliant man here.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this Michael?
It is.
It is.
Yay.
Michael Weiser. I'm calling you from Chandler right now.
All right. Hello. Good morning, Chandler. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing good. I was in the valley for cannabis legalization advocacy work at the State House, and we're glad we were able to check in with you.
Yes, definitely. So tell us a little bit about what brought you to Arizona.
Well, I moved to Arizona because Bullhead City in particular. My late wife had developed a disability, wasn't able to work anymore. I was working as a homeless shelter administrator and a freelance writer, and that was all fun, but it wasn't enough to pay our bills. Then moved to Arizona to become a school teacher.
Hmm.
I picked Bullhead City because it had water and mountains, and I'm from a Hispanic part of Texas, and the school I taught in had 65% Hispanic, so it helped me feel like, you know, home.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I was listening to your discussion about Keith Floyd and the 25-mile-an-hour or the 25-mile grove rule.
Yes.
And, yes, I'm glad that the judge offered or left the avenue open for the other approach of challenging on the 25-mile rule. I had felt that Floyd's, he brought in his political opinions about the ACA and tried to twist that into this lawsuit. And there are many other avenues that he could have taken.
Yeah, there were.
We all want to have that legalized, I'm sure, and the 25-mile-an-hour grow, or the 25-mile grow rule, many of the dispensary owners I talk to do not find a problem with that because most people cannot grow their own marijuana.
This is the truth.
It's true.
This is true. You know, and those that...
Or won't, anyway.
Yeah. Well, and those that are growing, or, you know, they've always been growing. And whether or not they've got the little cultivation marked on their box, they're still going to grow. But the need for dispensaries, I think you're right. I don't think it would affect them either way. It would definitely affect the patient's ability to grow organic medicine and also have the therapy of just growing is very therapeutic in and of itself. It's a wonderful, wonderful hobby, if you will. So,
right. Well, many of the people I know who are on medical, using edibles or oils or infusions, that takes so much cannabis that they couldn't afford dispensary marijuana. They'd have to have a way to treat themselves, like people with epilepsy, people who are battling tumors. They can't afford, ounces per day?
Yeah. Well,
so
yeah.
And it also allows them to grow this plant from, you know, and if they want to juice with it, however they want to use it.
Yeah.
But it allows them and them to be able to use their medicine in a way that it makes them feel comfortable. And I really do think that judge was really allowed it an awesome way for those guys to get, hey, there's this other way that you can go. And this could happen if you just do your little more research on it.
Yeah, I heard you mention juicing, that kind of thing you can do with leaves because you're after the CBDs, lower quality pieces of the plant other than the flower, and you can't get that at dispensaries either.
Right.
Heck no, they're not going to give you that stuff when people come get certified. We tell them that's the, you know, if you want the best medicine, use the whole plant. And they say, okay, awesome, where do we get it? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully plant a seed and get something.
Yeah. Well, so what is your take? You're running for office here, and you're obviously a cannabis supporter. You don't find that a conflict in doing that? We don't.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you know, liberty and justice for all is supposed to be the American way. I think that this prohibition has been a disaster, and working against it is patriotic. I mean, if we want to talk about that end. It's true. I'm a Canopy U.S. House of Representatives in Arizona's Congressional 4th District. That's essentially the left coast of the state from Yuma to Utah on the Colorado River. And it goes from the border at Payson all the way into, I mean, at Parker all the way into Payson and wraps around the Phoenix area as well.
Wow. And
it's a huge district out the land area of Pennsylvania.
That is a huge district. What are you? Do you think you're going to be able to make some positive changes for cannabis in winning this?
Well, I'm making positive changes in cannabis just by working on my campaign. That's it. We have this mentality Americans get taught that if you can't win, you should quit, and if you can't be perfect, don't try. But the fact that I organized up a group of volunteers who are helping me with my congressional campaign led to me having a group of volunteers who are helping with cannabis advocacy. And I'm working with Safer Arizona. We're making change right now. We have a bill that the State House is preparing to introduce in January called the Harm Reduction Measure, which is to address felony sentencing, you know. In Arizona, if you get arrested for 5 little grains in the bottom of your pocket, that's a felony.
Wow.
No ifs, ands, or buts. Sorry, high school kid, you just ruin your college, just ruin your military. If you have children, you know, DPS can take away, or Children and Family Services can take away your children. Just all sorts of disaster, right? So...
Mm-hmm.
This is a bill that Safer Arizona introduced in, I guess we started working on it in July and have spent most of the summer and the fall talking with legislators, developing a network of people who are willing and ready to draw attention to the injustice of this law and put a new face on the cannabis user instead of some marginalized person. You know, this is America now. About 30% of the population uses marijuana on a pretty regular basis. That's all sorts of moms and dads and grandpas, et cetera.
Well, and the Gallup polls well over half showing that America wants to legalize it or regulate it in some sort of way. You know, I mean, that's huge.
Well, yeah. I mean, the 70-year, now headed on 80-year period of prohibition is the exception, not the rule. People have been using this stuff for 10,000 years. It was on the pharmacy shelves up to the point that they made it illegal. You know, and now we're having to prove all over again from scratch that it's medicine. It's ridiculous. So, it's definitely an issue that I thought was worth fighting for as a political candidate, and then found that we can do stuff here in the state. You know, just through our through organizing, through standing up for our rights and drawing attention.
Absolutely. What do you think, just as far as Arizona goes, I don't think it was such a bad idea to have a dispensary system where, you know, they kind of limited the amount of dispensaries they could have. Unlike California, they've got thousands in one little area. But as far as the nation goes, do you think that the government's going to roll out some sort of program like they did with alcohol, where each state has its own rights to do with it what they will?
Yes.
What do you think?
At the federal level, I think that the federal level response is to get out of the state's way. You know, just since you put it that way, that's true. States like Colorado, Washington are already setting up models that their, you know, the, like the chemistry labs of democracy trying to figure out how to get this to work. And
right.
the federal government is not going to benefit cannabis users or the industry behind cannabis use by getting all involved in it. I want to see states or a law that was already brought up that didn't pass through to the judiciary in 2012 that would have prevented the federal government, the DEA, from getting involved in states where they already have a medical marijuana program or any kind of marijuana program.
Right.
That should have passed. But we're not there yet. And then there's another law that that failed to pass by the wonderful Sam Farr, which was called Truth in Trials, which will let medical patients testify when they're in federal cases that they're part of a state program. You know, you can't do that now.
Oh, interesting. That's
if a medical patient gets arrested for a federal charge, when they're in court, they cannot testify to the fact they're in a medical program.
Because
it's considered a federal crime, and that's not considered admissible evidence. It's another way that the government is preventing justice, basically. So that was a law that it should have passed. It was in Congress last year to be debated, and my opponent, Paul Gosar, who's the current congressman in Congressional District 4, sits on judiciary, and even though me and other volunteers that have been working with me directly appealed to him, he let that die. So all by itself, that's enough reason to challenge the guy, right?
Yeah.
Mike, on the PTSD being added to the list, where are we with that, and what's going on with that?
Well, you know, I know what you guys know from the monthly newsletter that they had a hearing on October 29th, and I haven't heard the results from that.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But,
I think results are coming January or February or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they said that as the crow fly rule, that's going to change next fall as well. So there's some changes happening.
I'm really liking that they're allowing all this. The room for the change. It's not being held up by, I mean, there's still a fight, but
right.
It's seeming to pass through a lot easier.
Let me say, here in Arizona at the State House, which is where I'm doing most of my legislative advocacy, there's two bills that are preparing to be discussed in the upcoming January session. One of them is the harm reduction measure, which was the felony sentencing bill I talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, and that's being introduced by Ruben Gallego out of, let me try that again. The harm reduction measure is being introduced by Mark Cardenas out of LD19.
Oh.
And there's a second bill that's still in the works by Ruben Gallego, out of LD27, which is supposed to have a wider legalization footprint, but it's still in the works. We don't know what all is going to be in that bill yet.
Interesting. I think
Arizona is fighting to stay behind the times, but it's turning into the 21st century. Just like the rest of America, legalization is on the way. It's a matter of if we can get laws that are proactive instead of reactive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the prison laws that are going into effect, they were talking about a lot of the officers there are saying, hey, let's legalize it in the prison systems. So where does that come in?
Now, I got to say, I love that idea. It's not something that I'm familiar with. I know that there's some country where they give the people cannabis because who are in prison because it helps them deal with the pain and the suffering of being in prison better, get better prisoners that way. You know, it's funny. You guys know the... the famous marijuana martyr from the 90s here in Arizona, Peter Wilson. In the 90s, there was a period of time when the state decided they were going to control marijuana through taxes. That it wasn't the problem of it was a drug. It was a problem that the people hadn't bought their licenses and paid their taxes to own it. It was the legislative solution to the drug problem. And this guy, Peter Wilson, who was leadership in Phoenix Normal back in the 90s, decided to test this and bought his tax permit and his tax stamps, and they still convicted him for 9 counts.
9 counts.
Nine counts, and they used the baggie that had the tax stamp on it as evidence in the case because he wasn't allowed to testify that he had bought his permit.
And he was a patient.
And well, it was before they had medical marijuana law.
You know, we just there was a court case just recently where a judge told a patient who's also a doctor who was charged with growing too many plants. Not, you know, maybe a patient's worth of plants, 12 too many. But this judge told them that in their 4-year probation, they could not use their medical cannabis. Is that even
possible?
Can they do that?
Well, I'm trying to think of a diplomatic way to say this. If you look at some of the laws and some of the verdicts that get passed out around the United States every year, there's all sorts of injustice. Yes, the judge can say that, but that can be appealed back. I know of a case in Phoenix with a similar problem. This guy, Dave Masters, who has a business called the Canna Bus, where he's a medical card patient, and he provides a place for people to smoke when they're at public events in the bus because it's private property. He got put on probation for a non-drug-related charge, and his probation prevented him from using his medical marijuana. So it not only affects his health, it's like destroying his business. That case can be appealed. It's not in appeal yet. He's trying to figure out how to afford the funds. The cannabis lawyers that he's talked to were charging more than he could afford, and they already had all the pro bono that they could handle.
Wow. That's beyond life. We need to get these guys together. Maybe they can pull funds and find other people that this has happened to because it's their medicine. And this person told the judge, look, you're going to put me on these, you know, OxyContins, and I'm going to get I'm going to get hooked to this stuff and get sick. I can't take it, you know. And she said, well, good luck.
Exactly.
Good
I
luck
mean,
out
the scale yeah. of the stories of injustice.
Oh, my God.
We can't even, yeah, there's thousands, 18,000 cases in Arizona each year. You guys are in Tucson, 6,000 cases in Tucson each year.
So
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to comment on the fact that you teach social studies. What are you teaching these kids to, you know, not to live this world this way? Do you get to teach about cannabis in school? I always wonder what's in the school books these days. Do you get to bring this up in sensitivity?
First, I should say that I've retired from teaching to focus on political advocacy and my campaign full-time as of May. But for about a dozen years, every year at least once, I had to do the explanation of how William Randolph Hearst wanted to control the paper market, so he hired Harry Anslinger to convince the government to make hemp and marijuana illegal. Lay it straight up. They want the truth. You know, kids are so used to authority figures lying to them and then exerting control anyway. We can't really solve problems if we lie about them.
Right.
This is true.
So, yeah, I've told the truth. Kids would say, you know, for years, so can you tell us something about marijuana? I said, well, you know, I can't discuss my own personal case with you. That's not appropriate, but I can tell you the history.
Okay. Well, that's
And so
great.
I would. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, that education behind it.
They're not even being told the history, which is a crime right there, you know?
Being left
out. They're told the history of alcohol, which is something that kills thousands of people every year. Why, you know? Oh, it's
just I think we're coming to a different phase in the way that America is going to operate. I like to believe that the people have enough access to knowledge now, which we didn't have when I was a kid, to where we can get some social change based on knowing what truth really is. You know, prior to this book, People's History of the United States, most textbooks were ad campaigns for American history, not actual accounting of you know, our good and our bad. So now we have – go ahead.
No,
you need both the good and the bad to make history. That's what it is. If it was all good all the time, then
then it'd just be
then it would just be good.
Hey, how do you feel about the speaking of good? Oh, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Now, I was going to give an example of you guys are probably of an age range to where if a president came on TV and told you that this Middle Eastern country had weapons of mass destruction, you'd know enough personal history to where, you know, maybe I should wonder if that's true.
Right, exactly.
Right? Maybe. That's an example of what history is about. Now, I run as a Democrat, and I've been a Democrat since I was in utero, but I was one of the protesters against the Syrian misadventure that just recently didn't happen, yay, and it was the same kind of story. My president and my secretary of state telling me how I got to go kill some people in some other country because they're supposed weapons. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. I'm glad that we had enough history to where Americans protected ourselves from that. But you know, back in the day, that wasn't the case. People hid actual history to keep the citizens from taking control of their government and stopping it from getting involved in misadventures. I'm hoping that we have a better future than we had in the past on that.
I hope so. I think the more communication and the more discussion we have, the more we will have a better future. And the more you get to talk about this stuff in social studies and history class in school and at least just give them the information. I was going to just switch subjects for a minute. And in the news again this morning was Arizona's parents. There are a lot of parents with children that are really sick, but now this whole edible question and concentrate question has come up in Arizona, and they're trying to deny parents access to oils and tinctures and things for children. What do you think about that?
Well, that happens to be one of the legislative issues that Safer Arizona is working on right now. Just yesterday we had a meeting with Chad Campbell, who is the House Minority Leader. He's the leader of the Democrats in the State House of Representatives, LD24, represents. And we were talking about the overall issue, or the overall approach of how to deal with cannabis reform. One of the things is like you mentioned, the concentrates and resins clause phrase, which is a real frustrating piece of injustice. Will Humble, the head of the Department of Health, announced that he wasn't sure whether or not this was covered in the new concentrates and resins were included in protection in the new AMMA as of 2010. And it really breaks down to two commas and three words. And if you read the ARS 13-3405, the bill that – the part of state law that deals with criminal marijuana, there's this phrase where it goes, comma, concentrates and resins, comma. And because of that phrase, Will Humble has put thousands of patients and their sick children into jeopardy. It's an outrage. We have a state representative from Tucson Stephanie Mock, who you guys may know of down there, LD10, and she is interested in trying to introduce some legislation on trying to solve that problem. It's basically an edit of taking out two commas and three words. So it's something that we were talking with Campbell about. Can we get some support on that? And Safe Arizona launched a poll yesterday to see if we can get some support behind introducing a bill on that issue.
I thought somewhere...
It's kind of thing you could fix with a pen, you know?
Right.
Right.
This is something they changed, because I thought in the original AMMA statutes and rules it said that any portion of the plant or mixture thereof was okay.
Yes, you're right about the AMA section. And right now this morning I'm blanking out what section of state statute that is, and wanting to say 26, but I'm getting a gap.
Yeah,
but the problem isn't in the AMMA. The problem is in the other section of the law that deals with criminal cannabis, which is ARS 13-3405. The part that was written before the medical marijuana program was established is where the problem is.
Hmm. And that's where we're trying to take out commas and words?
Which is
yes, that's the part where we need to take out comma, concentrates and resins, comma.
Hmm. And what do you think is going to happen?
Well, like I say, Stephanie Mock out of Tucson, LD10, is hoping that some legislation can be introduced on that. You know, it's really a strange chess game to move legislation. We have to get first people who are friendly to the idea, and then you have to get somebody that's willing to be a hero on it. And, you know, I wish that this functioned as a nonpartisan issue, because certainly smokers come in all stripes and colors and sizes and political persuasions, but the two parties aren't equal in trying to address this issue. Right now we're facing a lot of backlash from Republicans afraid that they're going to lose their religious right base, and Democrats in this state don't have the clout right now to win, to sell bills at the legislature, because they don't have enough members. So this is something that we're having to push on. When I get a hero like Mark Cardenas, who's behind the harm reduction measure, I want to make sure everybody gets to hear about this and give them some support. So that's the step that we are at right now, is finding the people who are going to support it, and then figuring out who its opponents are and keeping them busy with something else.
Yeah, exactly. Keep them focused on other things. Do you have a good little can of group over there of people that are helping you with your campaign?
Well, yes. Because I work so closely with Safer Arizona and Normal in Arizona, I do get a lot of support from those volunteers on my cannabis work. And then, you know, we're not necessarily tying the two campaigns together. I try to, like, keep a separation, because what benefits me in Congressional District 4 isn't necessarily the fastest approach for people all over the state. But some folks I'd like to acknowledge, since you're giving me that opportunity, is the mastermind behind the legislative arm of Safer Arizona, Dennis Bolke, here in Phoenix.
All right.
He's the guy who wrote the marijuana initiative, which is the petition drive. Have you guys been involved in that?
Mm-hmm. No. For the 2014 or 16?
The 2014 petition drive, Tax and Legalize.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do. Yeah. We have petitions down here. We've got hundreds of signatures already for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there in Tucson tomorrow or Saturday night as part of a fundraiser event that Safer Arizona is holding. I liked it. And then mentioned Tucson, got to acknowledge Bob Clark and Sean Earle, who are the lead organizers for Safe Arizona there. So I want to mention their names because, again, right now I'm blanking out. I don't remember the details of Saturday night's event, or I would be hawking it, saying, go team. But I know that, right? I know that the people in Tucson can get in touch with Bob Clark. I can put his phone number out if that will help.
Well, whatever info that is going to help people contact you and help support this is great, and that Robert wants you to share is awesome. And we can always post on our Facebook later and absolutely share whatever you want. We want people to show up and support this and support you. And,
right.
You know, because that's the right. only way it's going to change is if we get out there and our voice is heard.
I also, before I lose the opportunity, I want to thank Cynthia Engstrom, who is a energy therapist and massage therapist in Chandler. She's been volunteering her time, being my legislative assistant, helping me line up meetings with the legislators, keeping track of everybody's position. You know, these people who claim that they're representing Arizona need to be responsible to the cannabis users also. Instead of acting around us, start acting for us for a while. I think that we'd have a different kind of government. So with Dennis's help, Cynthia's help, we had a professional political strategist come by and help us strategize yesterday, a guy named Marcus Farrell out of Florida who works on races all over the country, is trying to get involved in this. We also work with LEAP quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Down in Tucson, your LEAP officer is Tony Ryan.
Yeah.
He just recently came back from the Drug Policy Alliance National Convention with all sorts of great ideas of how Tucson can help battle this drug war. We're battling against the drug war instead of, you know.
Battling
against the people who are attacking Americans. That seems like a good idea.
Right. Battling against the patients that need it the most, people.
I got some information about the SAFER information down here in Tucson. So we'll definitely put that out for people if they want to get involved with SAFER Arizona. Is there any other places up in Phoenix that people can get involved if they want to start helping out and getting laws passed and be an activist like you want?
Well, yeah, I can't go without talking about Normal, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws here in Arizona. There's lots of local chapters, but Normal in Arizona is run by Kathy Inman and her husband David, and they are the visible arm of the cannabis reform movement. I mean, groups like Safer Arizona, LEAP, deal more with the nuts and bolts of trying to get change at the state house, but Normal is a tremendous umbrella of activism. You go to a Normal meeting, you'll find all sorts of different attitudes and different uses and innovations that can inspire you and get you more active. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to plug such groups.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're
very, very important.
We've had them on.
We've had AZ for Normal and Leaf and Tony Ryan on the show. It's so important to support you guys that are out there, you know, in the forefront doing this stuff. You guys need your backup.
I'd like to give one more prop to a friend of mine who is my finance director for my congressional campaign, Brian Scully. Is not a cannabis user, but he's a believer in the cause. And so even though, you know, the purposes of the time and energy that it takes to work on cannabis reform takes away from my congressional campaign, he invests himself into it because it's the justice of it. We can see a way to make justice by taking a little time and, you know, a little sacrifice here can make a big difference in the long run. I hope that Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to direct people to your website as well. I love a website.
Oh, yes.
For the left coast.
You know what? When I was listening to the opening of the show, you mentioned a group that I think has a tremendous power to have impact in Arizona's cannabis culture, and that's the guys behind Culture Magazine.
Mm.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, we're on the phone now. We're doing this interview because Michelle Anderson, who is the Arizona rep, connected me to you guys. I have been in their October issue. I'm the guy wrangling the donkey. Imagine that on page.
Talking about these
same kinds of issues, but Michelle Anderson and Culture Magazine are trying to reach out and really create this community that works together on this. I mean, go ahead.
No, and they did. They reached out. That's what's so cool about this community is one day we got a knock on our door and somebody was standing there with a bunch of awesome magazines. Here, would you like, can I leave these here with you? They're free and they've got awesome information and we just like to share. I love the sharing, you know, and that's how we found you. And,
mm-hmm.
and I hunted down the delivery guy and I said, you've got to get me in contact with these people.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just a messenger.
Well,
don't. And there
the
you
thing that
it.
We need to do, and I see this is happening now, is the people in the cannabis community are realizing that the power is ours if we will act and take it. I mean,
yep.
as big of a reason as any as I can see, cannabis has been kept illegal in America for going on 80 years because of the social control.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that the laws do more harm than the plant itself. It's not about protecting us from the plant. It's about a way of taking large groups of people and saying, you guys don't count. Don't contact your government. You can't trust the society's going to work for you. Stay in the shadows and don't mess with our plan.
Well, then they just need to get America stoned. They want them to sit back and little indica, please.
Little indica, please. Speaking of that, on January 13th, the Arizona cannabis community we're asking you to arrive en masse at the state capitol.
Okay.
January 13th. It's the Monday that opens the next legislative session. It's when our bill, the harm reduction measure, is going to be on hand for introduction. And I'd like to see Animal House by the thousands in the courtyard at State Capitol. So start promoting that. This is our chance to get out and make sure that the public knows that this is an issue. Start telling our stories with the TV cameras running. That'll get some hearts.
Whatever flyers or posters or information you have, tell them to bring it down to Tumbleweeds Health Center. We see tons of people daily to certify and answer questions and sign petitions and bring it down, drop it off, and we'll put it on display. We'll get busloads of people there. Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, gosh.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, this has been an awesome show. And your website, I'm going to spell it out for people, MIKEL.
Yeah.
WEISSER.org, Michael Weiser, MIKELWEIS.
Yeah, it was a typo when I was in the Navy, but I liked it, so I kept it.
Oh, get out, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, back in 1981, when I got out of the Navy, all I had was my military ID. And so that became my driver's license, and here we are 40 years later.
That's awesome. I love it. I thought maybe, you know, who knows what parents were thinking.
Yeah.
Kids are coming out Democrats, you know, screaming, screaming.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, it was good having you on today. And, hey, is that event this weekend down here in Tucson open to the public?
Yes, it is. It's open to the public, and I encourage you guys to contact Tucson. I'm putting you on speaker for just a second so I can get this phone number out of my phone. How embarrassing.
No worries. Speaker phones.
Okay.
All right.
The event in Tucson is a fundraiser for Safer Arizona, because it does cost money to change laws. You have to have thousands, in this case, hundreds of thousands of petition signatures. We estimate it's going to cost $20,000 alone, plus the process, the notary work on the signatures. So you see why we need to raise money. Okay. The number for the Tucson office, Safer Arizona, is 520-954-5331. And ask for Bob Clark, who's president of the organization.
All right. I just posted that for people to call Bob for more info about this weekend's event. It's really, really important we get out there and show support.
We got some good stuff on
the
show.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for being on our show and being a part of this amazing time in history. This is historical, and you're one of the forerunners of it, and we really thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate you putting it that way, but folks out there in Radio Land, this is your movement.
Yeah.
I'm by myself. I'm one guy, and I'm doing all I can, but this is a movement that affects millions, and so it's going to take thousands of us to make the difference. It's
right.
Way more fun than you think. It's really fun to change the world.
It really is, especially with this kind of community.
Yeah, this is a fun
community to get involved with.
Well, and you know, it's such for an important thing, and it's for a true thing, and you know that there's things behind it that have been kept secret from us for a really long time, and you know, secrets aren't cool.
Right.
But not that long.
Yeah.
You
talk about going to my website, something that's a bit more accessible, because a lot of people like videos. We have two videos out. Safer Arizona has two videos out right now that we filmed here recently. One is at the Kanakush Festival. So type in my name and the word Kanakush. And then the other is at the State Fairgrounds. We sang about legalizing marijuana for 4 hours one day and got some film of that and thousands of signatures there at the State Fairgrounds. So that type in my name and then the numbers 101313 and you'll get that video.
Okay, awesome.
And the YouTube search. Yeah.
YouTube search, right. Are there videos on your website too?
Yeah, I have them.
Yes, there are.
Okay.
But really, it's better to look for me on YouTube. I work on maintaining. I do the website maintenance myself, and that's generally like 2 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. when I have to get up at 6 a.m., and so I'm not always putting as much effort into it as I should.
Awesome.
So YouTube for videos. You'll find all sorts of stuff, because I've been an entertainer before I became political.
Michael Weiser, M-I-K-E-L. Check it out.
Check him out, and we'll definitely love to have you back on this, you know, following year and hear what you got on your plate.
Hear about all the awesome progress.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sure. I look forward to telling you progress about the harm reduction measure. One last thing I'm going to ask is if the listeners who, you know, obviously you have internet, go to the Arizona State Legislature website, that's azledge.gov. LEDGE is spelled L-E-G. And you're going to find member rosters of your state representatives and state senators. Start calling them today. Call them so often that it gets on your speed dial, and tell them to support the harm reduction measure and take action on concentrates and resins. They really do respond to the people that they hear the most often. It shouldn't just be greasy lawyers, right? It should be the people. So if we start being the voice in their ear, they'll start taking action for us.
That's right. We need people. Excellent advice.
That.
Yeah, thank you for that. And bookmark
thank
that
you.
In your... Yes. Well, have an awesome day. Thank you so much for being with us again. Mike Weissel, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you all. Take care, kids.
All right, you too.
Thanks, the world.
We will.
World peace. Well, that was great. Wow, what a knowledgeable guy.
Interesting. He's got a lot. He is. We were saying that he wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get his
website done.
Ooh.
I thought I was bad. That's great. Well, check it out. It's Michael, M-I-K-E-L, Weisser, Weisser.org.
State for Arizona is on
I would love
Tumbleweed's Facebook, so you can just go and check them out.
Yep. So are LEAP and some of the other organizations that he mentioned. We need to make a link. I don't even know how that works. We need to link it. Thank you. I don't know how to do it. I used to. So smart. All right. Well, wow, what a great show. We only have a few minutes left. Tumbleweeds Health Center opens at 9 every morning, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We are in the back, and we want to thank everybody for a great celebration this last Saturday. We had a lot of fun playing ping pong and giving away gifts and prizes and just hanging out and supporting each other. And Holy Smokes was down there talking about
Terpenoids.
Cannabinoids.
And
their wonderful vaping products. And
which is now here at Tumbleweed. So come on down and get your...
Come down and pick some up. Talk to Lisa Star about that. In quite frequently to discuss the organic botanicals. And let's see. We only have a couple minutes left. What should we wrap up with? We did some news. We did talk about the Mesa Boys' access to marijuana extract faces a new challenge. Just a little local Arizona news. Maricopa County's chief prosecutor is asking a judge to throw out a bid by the parent of a 5-year-old Mesa boy who suffers from seizures to be able to get an extract of marijuana from dispensaries. County Attorney Bill Montgomery is not disputing whether or not Xander Welton needs the drug. Parents have received the proper recommendation from a doctor to sign him up as a patient under the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. Xander's mom was on our show a couple months ago, I think it was, just right when they started using cannabis. You should listen to the effects and how awesome just even the dryer is, and imagine the tinctures and the oil that we need, and how much more powerful as a medicine that could be for him.
And those concentrates are coming in more and more. I know Tumbleweeds is going to be carrying concentrate here pretty soon through...
60 Elixir. It's a hemp oil concentrate of 40 to 60% hemp oil.
And CBD. Which help out with pain saving, seizures, still pain relief.
Inflammation.
Migraines. A lot of this stuff can help out. Now, if you're a cannabis smoker or a cannabis user using THC, this actually boosts the help of the other cannabinoids in your strain. So this high CBD kind of acts as like a regulator.
And what the representative told us is that like an aspirin or an ibuprofen, you get a headache, you can take a little bit of their dropper. They've got two different...
They've got a few different flavors.
Well, not flavors, but dosages that you can take, like if you need a stronger dosage. But it's like an aspirin. You take it 10 minutes later, your head's feeling better, and it lasts for hours.
And you just put it right underneath your tongue. It's a dropper.
And there's different flavors, and they've got capsules and those Listerine-type strips you put on your tongue, too, that kind of thing.
So it's going to be a nice option for people who don't like to use cannabis or smoke cannabis. This is another way you can take it without
the psychoactive effect. Yeah, because there are a lot of people coming in that have never tried cannabis, that are older, and they don't want to smoke, they don't even want to vaporize, they don't even want to eat it, but just because they really don't want the psychoactive effect.
Right.
This
is a really nice option for people who don't want that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I threw on Tumbleweed Facebook just the way that Mike Weiser was talking about our Bill of Rights. This is 15 ways pot prohibition wrecks your Bill of Rights. And there's quite a few on here, but it's a really great article kind of about what we were talking about today. Kind of taking back and creating your world.
Yeah. Get involved.
Get involved.
Get
so
your
know
world
what
back.
Your stuff is.
Get
your world
back.
I like that.
Yeah. take the world back, folks. Awesome. Well, that was an awesome show. Thank you.
Right.
And tomorrow for Belle's birthday, everybody smoke their favorite in the cup. I'll go. But you have to go to work. It's not my problem.
You still have to do it.
Yeah, you still have to go. Just be mellow. Just keep typing away. Thank you so much, Michael Weiser and Culture Magazine, for having them on. Thank you, AZMarijuana.com, Rower's House, get down to their new location, 1501 East 21st Street. I believe that's it. It's awesome. It's gargantuan, if there is such a word. And thank you, AZ.
I was going to say Culture Magazine for coming to turn your articles
with us. Yeah, thank you, Culture, always. Definitely come into Tumbleweed, because these are free. Free, we love free. Free magazines. Come and grab one. Thank you, Accurate Med Testing, Grower's House, Mary Jane's Survival Guide,
CDOC, Tumbleweed,
CDOC, our Mystery Patient, Tech Guy,
Star, Tech Guy,
Candace Kid, and you all have a fabulous Week Day Wednesday. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Woo!